Quite often I just wander about looking at the trees, and especially the tree.
At last their work seems to be drawing to an end. Then they allow themselves more and more time for walking about, looking at the trees and flowers.
The lights and the shapes and the lie of the land.
But more and more often, Niggle turned his eyes towards...
the mountains.
We shall finish this evening. And seeing as my limp has now gone completely, I think we should go for a really long walk.
Yes. The great tree is in blossom now.
They walk and walk and walk until they come right through the distances to...
the edge. It's not visible, I know. There's no line or fence or wall, but this is the edge. The farthest margin of this country.
You're right. And someone from whatever country it borders appears to be coming to meet us. See? There, walking down the grass slopes that lead up into the mountains.
She looks like a shepherd.
Good day to you both. Do you want a guide? Do you want to go on? Well?
Parish?
I must wait for my wife. She'd be lonely. I rather gathered that they would send her after me sometime or other, when she was ready. I hope she'll like this country too. Could you tell me the name of this country?
Don't you know? It is Niggle's country. It is Niggle's picture, or most of it. A little of it is now Parish's garden.
Niggle's picture? Did you think of all this, Niggle? Well, why didn't you tell me?
He tried to tell you a long time ago, but you wouldn't look. He'd only got canvas and paint in those days, and you wanted to mend your roof with them.
But it did not look like this then. Not real.
No, it was only a glimpse then. But you might have caught the glimpse, if you'd ever thought it worthwhile to try.
I did not give you much chance. I never tried to explain. But what does it matter? We have lived and worked together now. Things might have been different, but they couldn't have been better. All the same, I'm afraid I shall have to go on.
Yes.
We shall meet again, I expect. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Niggle.
Turning for a moment, he looks back.
Just one last look at the great tree.
Its blossoms shining like flame, birds flying around it and singing. Then, with a smile and a nod to Parish, he goes on his way. He is going to learn about sheep and the high pastures and look at a wider sky and walk ever further and further towards the mountains, always uphill. Beyond that, I cannot guess what will become of him. For a short time after Niggle's departure from the country where he used to live, he is the subject of some small discussion.
I think he was a silly little man. Worthless, in fact. No use to society at all.
Oh, I don't know, Mrs. Tompkins. Of course, you are a counsellor and I'm just a schoolmaster and therefore nobody of importance. But I think it depends on what you mean by use.
No practical or economic use. I dare say, Atkins, he could have been made into a serviceable cog of some sort if you schoolmasters knew your business, but you don't. And so we get useless people of his sort. If I ran this country, I'd have put him away long ago.
You mean made him start on the journey before his time?
If you must use that meaningless old expression, push him through the tunnel into the great rubbish heap, that's what I mean.
Then you don't think painting is worth anything?
Not his. Private daydreaming. Always fiddling with leaves and flowers. I asked him why once. He said he thought they were pretty. Can you believe it, silly footler?
Aye. Well, his canvases have been put to better uses since he went. But I'm not so sure, Mrs. Tompkins. You remember that large one, the one they used to patch the damaged house next door to his after the gales and floods? I found a corner of it, torn off, lying in a field. It was damaged, but legible. A mountain peak and a spray of leaves. I can't get it out of my mind.
Out of your what?
Who were you two talking about?
The name's not worth repeating. He didn't live in town.
No, but you had your eye on his house all the same. That's why you used to go and call and sneer at him while drinking his tea. Well, you've got it now, so you needn't grudge him his name, if you want to know, Perkins. We were talking about Niggle.
Oh, poor little Niggle.
I never knew he painted.
And that will probably be the last time Niggle's name will ever come up in conversation. However, Atkins preserves that odd corner. In time, most of it crumbles, but one beautiful leaf remains intact. Atkins has it framed and later gives it to the town museum. For a long while, Leaf by Niggle hangs there in a recess and is noticed by a few eyes.
Charming.
Whimsical daubing.
Delightful.
Time-wasting scribble.
Exquisite.
Footling nonsense.
Eventually, however, the museum is burned down, and the leaf and Niggle are entirely forgotten in his old country. But elsewhere, he is remembered.
It is proving very useful indeed, as a holiday and a refreshment. It is splendid for convalescents. It is the best introduction to the mountains. I'm sending more and more there. They seldom have to come back.
No, that is so. I think we shall have to give the region a name. What do you propose?
The porter settled that some time ago.
Oh?
The train for Niggle's Parish in the Bay. He has shouted that for a long while now. Niggle's Parish. I sent a message to both of them to tell them.
What did they say?
They both laughed. Laughed! The mountains rang with it.
The Adventures of Tom Bombadil.
The Land of Faerie is indeed a perilous realm, and in it are pitfalls for the unwary and dungeons for the overbold. As the heroes of this tale discover when they find themselves caught up in the adventures of Tom Bombadil. There are various verses about Tom Bombadil in the Red Book of Westmarch, and he figures also in the narrative entitled
The Downfall of the Lord of the Rings and the Return of the King, as seen by the Little People, being the memoirs of Bilbo and Frodo of the Shire.
Frodo of the Shire. Frodo Baggins, the Hobbit, who in the Third Age of Middle-earth inherited from his uncle Bilbo a ring of great power.
Three rings for the elven kings under the sky.
Seven for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone.
Nine for mortal men doomed to die.
One for the dark lord on his dark throne.
In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie.
One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them.
One ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them.
In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie.
The ring I possessed was the One Ring, and the Dark Lord Sauron wanted it and was seeking for it. It was on the advice of Gandalf the Wizard that I left the Shire and set forth on a journey from which I knew I might never return.
A journey, perhaps, to the cracks of doom, in the depths of Orodruin, the Fire Mountain, there to cast in the ring that it might be destroyed and put beyond the grasp of the enemy forever.
And so I began my quest. But adventures came quickly. We were soon being pursued by black riders, and dangers seemed to be everywhere. Accompanied by my cousins Meriadoc Brandybuck and Peregrine Took, commonly known as Merry and Pippin, I set out to follow a path I hoped would prove a safer way. And that meant going into the old forest.
It's dark and damp.
Are the stories about this place true, Mary?
If you mean the old bogey stories about goblins and wolves and things of that sort, I should say no. But the forest is queer. And the trees, Pippin, do not like strangers. They watch you. As long as daylight lasts, they don't do much. But at night, things can be most alarming, or so I'm told. They do say the trees actually move and can surround strangers and hem them in.
I'm not so sure we wouldn't have been better off taking our chances with those Black Riders.
We've made our choice, Sam. Or rather, I have. And we must see it through.
Is it only the trees that are dangerous?
Something makes paths. When everyone comes inside, one finds open tracks. But they seem to shift and change from time to time in a queer fashion.
Well, let's hope they don't shift too much while we're using them.
The trees seem to be getting taller and thicker.
And darker.
It's so quiet. I feel as if we're being watched.
There's no sign of any path, and these trees seem to be trying to bar our way. Oi! Oi!
Shh, Pippin.
We are not going to do anything. Just let us pass, will you?
I shouldn't shout if I were you, Pippin. It does more harm than good.
What are we supposed to do? You were supposed to know the way. Well, it's not taken you long to lose us.
We won't find the right path by arguing.
These trees do shift. I know where we are now. This is the way we should be going. At least I hope so.
I don't like this silence, Mr. Frodo, or the feel of this place. It's as if the ill will or whatever it is that's in this wood were pressing on us.
Maybe a song would help.
Yes. Give us a rhyme to encourage us, Cousin Frodo.
O wanderers in the shadowed land, despair not, for though dark they stand, all woods there be must end at last, and see the open sun go past. The setting sun, the rising sun, the day's end or the day begun, for east or west, all woods must fail.
Whoa!
They don't like all that stuff about ending and failing. I shouldn't recite any more at present.
Then, as the afternoon was wearing away, we saw, as if through a gate, sunlight before us, and we came quite suddenly out of the gloom.
Well, now I have at least some notion of where we are.
And where are we?
This is the river Withywindle, the one way we didn't want to go.
Why? What's wrong with it, Mary?
It's just that it's said to be the weirdest part of the whole wood. The centre from which all the weirdness comes, as it were.
There seems to be something like a footpath winding along on the side of the river, beneath the willows.
If we turn left and follow it, we shall be bound to come out on the east side of the forest, eventually.
I dare say. That is, if this track goes on so far and doesn't simply lead us into a bog and leave us there.
Who made the track, do you suppose? Why?
I'm sure it wasn't for our benefit.
I'm getting very suspicious of this forest and everything in it, and I'm beginning to believe all the stories about it.
We must lead the ponies. The ground's too soft for riding.
Have you any idea how far eastward we should have to go?
No, I haven't. But there's no other way out that I can see or think of.
Oh, it's so hot. And these wretched armies of flies forever buzzing round our ears.
Oh, I'm so tired. I can hardly lift my feet.
And I can't go another step without rest.
Come on, Merry, we can't have a nap yet. We must get clear of the forest first.
It's no good, Frodo. We're all dog-tired.
He's right, Mr. Frodo. Mr. Frodo? You all right?
Suddenly, I felt sleep overwhelming me. My head swam. Above me, a huge willow tree, old and hoary. Sprawling branches going up like reaching arms with many-fingered hands. There now seemed hardly a sound in the air, only a gentle noise on the edge of hearing, a soft fluttering as of a song half-whispered.
Cool words. Singing.
Singing about sleep.
And water. I must bathe my feet a minute. If I just sit on this root, I can paddle my feet in the...
More behind this than sun and warm air. Oh, I don't like this great big tree. I don't trust it. Look at it, singing about sleep now. This won't do at all. What's that? Mr. Frodo?
Help! Drowning! Help! Them!
Hold
help!
On! Hold on, Mr. Frodo, sir. Hold on. I'll get you, eh? It's all right. It's all right. I've got all your jacket. How did you get caught under this great tree root? It was as if it were trying to hold you under. There.
Oh. Oh. Thank you, Sam. Oh. Oh. Do you know, the beastly tree threw me in. I felt it. The big root just twisted round and tipped me in.
Well, you were dreaming, I expect, Mr. Frodo. You shouldn't sit in such a place if you feel sleepy.
What about the others? I wonder what sort of dreams they're having.
What was that?
I don't know. Let's wake them, shall we?
Merry! Pippin!
Sam, quick! He's trapped!
Wedged half in, half eight of a crack in a tree trunk. He must have leapt back and fallen in head first.
Or the tree trunk's closed around him like jaws.
How could that be?
I don't know, Sam, but the edges of the tree have a grip like a pair of pincers.
Open up! You let Master Merry go, do you hear me?
It's no use, Sam.
Tell you what, Mr. Frodo, I reckon there's our Master Pippin's also inside this...
Shh! Listen!
I don't like this, Sam.
I suppose we haven't got an axe amongst our luggage, have we, Mr. Frodo?
I brought a little hatchet for chopping wood, but that wouldn't be much use.
Hey, wait a minute. We might do something with fire.
We might succeed in roasting Merry and Pippin.
We might try to hurt or frighten this tree to begin with. If you don't let them go, I'll have it down, if I have to gnaw it. These leaves and twigs will make a good blaze. Look, it's scorching the trunk.
Sam, it's Merry.
Put it out, put it out. Squeeze me into it, you don't. He says so.
Who? What?
Put it out, put it out.
Sam, quick.
I've stamped it out, Master.
Oh, I don't know what to do. Help, help, help.
Mr. Frodo, sir.
Help.
Hee doll, Merry doll, ring a dong pillow. Ring a dong up.
We'd better be ready to face some new danger.
Doesn't sound dangerous. It just sounds nonsense.
Over there, above the reeds, an old battered hat with a long blue feather. Too tall for Hobbit, I reckon.
He's not tall enough for one of the big people.
He makes enough noise for one.
You can see him now. Long brown beard, laughing face.
Don't think he'll harm us.
Steady there! Now, my little fellas, wherever you were going to, puffing like a bellus, what's the matter here, then? Do you know who I am? I'm Tom Bombadil! Tell me, what's your trouble? Tom's in a hurry now. Don't crush my lilies.
Well, my friends are caught in the willow tree.
Master Merry's been squeezed in a crack.
What? Old man Willow! Not worse than that, eh? That could soon be mended.
It's drawing him in further. There's only his feet showing now. Please do something.
I know the tune for him, old grey willow man. I'll sing a wind up and blow leaf and branch away. Time for you to let them go, old man Willow. Just as you once let go, Tom Bombadillo.
I can't hear the words.
No, but Master Merry can. He's kicking his legs.
You let them out again, old man Willow. What be you a thinking of? You should not be waking. Eat earth. Go to sleep. Bombadil is talking. Now, young master, let's pull you free.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Merry.
Thank goodness you're still in one piece.
Come on, Jerry Doll, release your other prisoner.
Pippi.
Oh. It's just as if the tree had kicked him out.
I never thought I'd get free again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You saved our friends' lives.
Well, my little fellas, you shall come home with me. The table is all laden with yellow cream, honeycomb and white bread and butter. Cold berries waiting. Time enough for questions around the supper table. You follow after me as quick as you are able. Poor old Willow Man, you took your roots away. Tom's in a hurry now. Evening will follow day. Tom's going home again. Water lilies bringing.
What do we do now?
Hey, follow him, I suppose.
Is that safe?
Well, he's only shown us kindness.
And he did say something about bread and butter, honeycomb and cream.
Fetch the ponies and let's go. But how do we know where we're going?
Or how to get there?
Jolly Tom! Tom Bombadillo!
There's the house. I can see the lights.
And there's Bombadil at the door.
Hey, come, Terry Doll! Hop along, me hearties! Hobbits! Ponies all! We are fond of parties! Now let the fun begin! Let us sing together!
Now let the song begin! Let us sing together of sun, stars, moon and mist, rain and cloudy weather, light on the budding leaf, dew on the feather, wind on the open hill, bells on the heather, reeds by the shady pool, lilies on the water, old Tom Bombadil and the river daughter.
We stepped over the wide stone threshold. We were in a long room filled with the light of many candles. In a chair, at the far side of the room, sat a woman. Her long yellow hair rippled down her shoulders. Her gown was green, and her belt was of gold.
Enter, good guests. Come, dear folk, laugh and be merry. I am Goldberry, daughter of the river. Let us shut out the night, for you are still afraid, perhaps, of mist and tree shadows and deep water and untamed things. Fear nothing, for tonight you are under the roof of Tom Bombadil.
Fair Lady Goldberry, now the joy that was hidden in the songs we heard is made plain to me. O slender as a willow wand, O clearer than clear water, O reed by the living pool, fair river daughter.
Welcome. I had not heard that folk of the Shire were so sweet-tongued. But I see you are an elf friend. The light in your eyes and the ring in your voice tells it. This is a merry meeting. Sit now, all of you, and wait for the master of the house. He will not be long. He is tending your tired beasts.
Old Tom Bombadil is our merry fellow. Right,
fair Lady Goldberry, tell me, if my asking does not seem foolish, who is Tom Bombadil?
He is. He is, as you have seen him. He is master of wood, water, and hill.
Then all this strange land belongs to him?
No, indeed. That would be a burden. The trees and grasses and all living things in the land belong to themselves. Tom Bombadil is the master. No one has ever caught old Tom walking in the forest, wading in the water, leaping on the hilltops under light and shadow. He has no fear. Tom Bombadil is master.
Here's my pretty lady. Here's my gold berry clothed all in silver green with flowers in her girdle. Is the table laden? Yellow cream and honeycomb and white bread and butter, milk, cheese and green herbs and ripe berries gathered. Is that enough for us? Is the supper ready?
It is, but the guests perhaps are not.
Tom, your guests are tired and you've near forgotten. Come now, my merry friends, and Tom will refresh you. You shall clean grimy hands and wash your weary faces. Cast off your muddy cloaks and comb out your tangles.
Oh,
That was a splendid supper.
Mm. Oh, now I fear we ate as only famished hobbits can eat.
I never tasted the like of that drink. Looks like clear water, yet it went to the heart like wine.
Have peace now until the morning. Heed no nightly noises, for nothing passes door and window here save moonlight and starlight and the wind off the hilltop. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Master, earlier, did you hear me calling, or was it just chance that brought you at that moment?
Eh? What? Did I hear you calling? Nay, I did not hear. I was busy singing. Just chance brought me then, if chance you call it. 'Twas no plan of mine, though I was waiting for you. Old Grey Willow Man, he's a mighty singer, and it's hard for little folk to escape his cunning mazes. But Tom had an errand there that he dared not hinder.
Tell us, Master, about the Willow Man. What is he? I've never heard of him before.
Oh, no, don't. Not now. Not until the morning.
That's right. Now's the time for resting. Some things are ill to hear when the world's in shadow. Sleep till the morning light. Rest on the pillow. Heed no nightly noises. Fear no great willow.
The mattresses and pillows were soft as down, and the blankets were of white wool, and we had hardly laid ourselves on the deep beds and drawn the light covers over us before we were asleep and dreaming.
Frodo, in a dream without light. A noise like a strong wind blowing, and on it was borne the sound of hoofs, galloping, galloping, galloping from the east.
Oh, riders! Black riders!
Oh. He wakes, with the sound still echoing in his mind, motionless, listening, but all is now silent.
Have peace now, until the morning.
At last Frodo wanders into some other unremembered dream. Pippin, dreaming that he hears in the darkness branches fretting in the wind, twig fingers scraping wall and window.
Old Man Willow! No!
Fear nothing. Heed no nightly noises.
And he sleeps once more. Merry. Dreaming of water streaming down gently and then spreading all round the house into a dark, shoreless pool.
I shall be drowned. It will find its way in and I shall drown.
Nothing passes door and window here save moonlight and starlight and the wind off the hilltop.
A breath of sweet air moves the curtain. He breathes deep and sleeps again.
Hee doll, merry doll, ring-a-dong-dillo.
Sam, sleeping the night away in deep content. If logs are contented.
Come, merry doll, derry doll, me hearties.
Morning.
Morning.
Sun won't show a face much today, I'm thinking. Ring-a-ding-dillo! Wake now, my merry friends. If you come soon, you'll find breakfast on the table. If you come late, you'll get grass and rainwater.
Which do you fancy, Sam?
Well, not grass and rainwater, Master Merry.
Nor do I.
Then we'd better come soon rather than late.
Well, we may have come to the table soon, but it seems as if we're going to leave it late.
It looks as if we're only leaving it now, because we've eaten almost everything on it.
Are we going on with our journey today?
Oh, let me take a look. Well, if we are, we're going to travel wet.
there's just a grey roof of cloud and you can't even see the forest for the rain. And here comes Tom.
But you're not wet.
No, young hobbit master, only my boots. This is Goldpree's washing day and her autumn cleaning. Too wet for hobbit folk. Mm. Let them rest while they're able. It's a good day for long tales, for questions and for answers. Draw up chairs and gather round, and Tom will start the talking.
Then he told them many remarkable stories, and often his voice would turn to song.
He told us tales of bees and flowers, the ways of trees, and the strange creatures of the forest.
About evil things and good
things. Things friendly and things unfriendly.
Cruel things and kind things and secrets hidden under brambles.
Sometimes half as if speaking to himself, sometimes looking at us with a bright blue eye under his brow.
Far below willow roots, little water lady.
Moving constantly in and out of his talk was Old Man Willow, whose heart was rotten, but whose strength was green, who was cunning and a master of winds, and whose song and thought ran through the woods.
Ha! Tom Bombadil, what be you a-thinking? Peeping inside my tree, watching me a-drinking, deep in my wooden house, tickling me with feather, dripping wet down my face like a rainy weather.
You let me out again, Old Man Willow. I am stiff lying here. There no sort of pillow your hard, crooked roots. Drink your river water. Go back to sleep again, like the river daughter.
Willow Man let him loose when he heard him speaking, locked fast his wooden house, muttering and creaking, whispering inside the tree. Out from Willow Dingle, Tom went walking on, up the Withy Windle.
Suddenly, Tom's talk left the woods and went leaping up the young stream.
Over bubbling waterfalls, over pebbles and worn rocks.
Among small flowers in close grass and wet crannies.
Wise old Bombadil, he was a wary fellow. Bright blue his jacket was, and his boots were yellow.
But one day, Tom, he went and caught the river daughter, in green gown, flowing hair, sitting in the rushes, singing old water songs to birds upon the bushes.
He caught her, held her fast. Water rats went scurrying, reeds hissed, herons cried, and her heart was fluttering.
Merry doll, derry doll, here's my pretty maiden. You shall come home with me. The table is all laden. Yellow cream, honeycomb, white bread and butter. Roses at the windowsill and peeping round the shutter.
Old Tom Bombadil had a merry wedding, crowned all with buttercups, hat and feather shedding. His bride with forget-me-nots and flag lilies for garland was robed all in silver green. He sang like a starling, hummed like a honeybee, lilted to the fiddle, clasping his river maid round her slender middle.
Again, Tom's talk journeyed into strange regions beyond our memories and beyond our waking thought.
When the world was wider and the seas flowed straight to the western shore.
And still on and back, Tom went singing out into the ancient starlight.
To mortal fields say farewell, Middle-earth forsaken. In elven home a clear bell in the high tower is shaking. Here grass fades and leaves fall, and sun and moon wither. And we have heard the far call that bids us journey thither.
It seemed as if under the spell of his words, the wind had gone, and the clouds had dried up, and the day had been withdrawn, and darkness had come from east and west, and all the sky was filled with the light of white stars.
Whether the morning and evening of one day or of many days had passed, I could not tell. I did not feel either hungry or tired, only filled with wonder.
The stars shone through the window, and the silence of the heavens seemed to be round him. He spoke at last out of his wonder and his fear of that silence.
Who are you, master?
Eh? What? Don't you know my name yet? That's the only answer. Tell me who you are, alone yourself and nameless. But you are young and I am old. Eldest. That's what I am.
How old do you suppose he is?
Shh, Sam.
Mark my words, my friends. Tom was here before the river and the trees. Tom remembers the first raindrop and the first acorn. He made paths before the big people and saw the little people arriving. He was here before the kings and the graves and the barrow whites. When the elves passed westward, Tom was here already before the seas were bent.
He knew the dark under the stars when it was fearless, before the Dark Lord came from outside.
But, Master, all that was before even the first age of Middle-earth.
Many thousands of years ago.
Yes, it was! Tom Bombadil, I'm called now. But that isn't how I was known then. Yawain Ben Adar, they called me. Oldest and fatherless.
The rain has ended and new waters are running downhill under the stars. Let us now laugh and be glad.
And let us have food and drink.
Your hospitality is generous, but we seem to have done nothing but eat and drink since we came to the house of Tom Bombadil.
Well, long tales of thirsty and long listeners' hungry work, morning, noon and evening.
And when the food was before us, it was as if it were at least a week since we'd eaten. And after, when our hearts and spirits had been raised high again, Goldberry sang.
Her gown had jewels upon its hem as she ran down to the river and leaned upon a willow stem and watched the water quiver. A sudden music to her came as she stood there gleaming with free hair and the morning's flame on her shoulders streaming.
She sang songs that began merrily in the hills and fell softly down into silence.
A ship with golden beak and oar and timbers white came gliding. Swans went sailing on before, her tall prow guiding. Fair folk out of elven land in silver grey were rowing, and three with crowns she saw there stand with bright hair flowing.
And in the silences we saw
pools and waters
wider than any known.
And looking into them we saw
the sky below us and the stars like jewels in the depths.
With harp in hand they sang their song to the slow oars swinging. Green is the land, the leaves are long, and the birds are singing. Many a day with dawn of gold this earth will lighten. Many a flower will yet unfold ere the corn fields whiten. Now, once again, I wish you good night. Have peace until the morning.
Time for hobbit folk to tell their tale. For I know of your flight from the Shire, Frodo.
What? Before I set out upon my journey, I was advised to be careful of what I said, even to my closest friends.
Well, the enemy has many spies and many ways of hearing.
That is what Gandalf the Wizard said.
Gandalf the Grey was ever wise.
Yes.
Eh, now, merry doll, old Tom's a-waiting.
I wish that I might speak freely.
I say do, Mr. Frodo.
Yes, cousin. Go on, Frodo.
Tom already knows something of your quest and of the perils which you face. Three rings for the elven kings under the sky,
7 for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone. 9 for mortal men doomed to die. 1 for the Dark Lord on his dark throne in the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie.
1 ring to rule them all, 1 ring to find them, 1 ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them.
In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie.
I carry the One Ring, Master. The One Ring which the Dark Lord Sauron made and lost and greatly desires to have again.
And which he must not find.
But he's already on our trail, or so it seems.
We've been pursued upon the road by terrible black riders.
Which is how we came to be lost in that fearful old forest. Ooh, begging your pardon, Master, for it has also brought us to your house.
The trouble is, I wish to destroy the ring, or, well, have it destroyed. But I am not made for perilous quests. Why did it come to me? Why was I chosen? I wish I'd never seen the ring.
And may I see it?
It's your ring.
It's my ring.
Does he know its power?
Does he know its power?
A ring that makes its wearer invisible.
A ring that makes its wearer invisible. Show me the precious ring.
Here.
What's happening to the ring?
Lying on Tom's big brown-skinned hand, it seems to be growing larger.
What is he doing?
Putting it to his eye. One ring to rule them all.
Laughing?
A vision both comical and alarming.
His bright blue eye gleaming through the circle of gold.
One ring to find them.
Now what is he doing?
Putting the ring round the end of his little finger.
Holding it up to the candlelight.
One ring to bring them all.
But does not disappear.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Laughing.
Spinning the ring in the air.
Turning.
Gleaming.
Catching the candlelight.
In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie.
It's vanished. The ring!
Now, merry doll! No need to look suspicious. Here's the ring! Returned, unchanged!
What's the matter, Frodo? Annoyed with old Tom?
Something so perilous should not be treated lightly.
Now, let me tell you another tale.
Is it the same ring?
It looks the same. It weighs the same.
Perhaps you should just make sure.
I must be certain.
Went back and hid themselves, a shivering and a shaking, blocked up all their doors, earth together, raking.
Oh, don't you think Tom tells a grand story, Frodo? Frodo? Frodo!
Where are you, cousin?
Mr. Frodo, sir.
They can't see me.
There's a seeing look in old Tom's eyes.
I'm invisible. It's my ring, all right.
It's the ring, the One Ring. Are you going somewhere?
I want to leave.
Why?
And I'm leaving now.
Hey there!
Where is he, Tom?
Hey! Come, Frodo, there! Wherever you are going, old Tom Bombadil's not as blind as that yet. Take off your golden ring. Your hand's more fair without it. Come back. Leave your game and sit down beside me.
As you please, Master.
Oh, Frodo.
You used the ring.
Come. We must talk a while more and think about the morning.
Will the weather be kind to us?
Or are we in for more rain?
I reckon the sun will shine tomorrow. It will be a glad morning and setting out will be hopeful. Tom must teach you the right road and keep your feet from wandering.
What is the right road?
It's nearly due north from this house over the western and lower slopes of the downs. In a day's journey you might hope to strike the east road and avoid the barrows.
Oh. What about the Barrow Downs? They have a sinister reputation in Hobbit legend.
Keep to the green grass. Don't you go a-meddling with old stones or cold wights or prying in their houses, unless you be strong folk with hearts that never falter.
Let's just hope we don't lose our way again.
If you stray near a barrow, pass it on the west side. Old burial chambers hold more than gold of kings. Barrow whites. Spirits from the dark kingdom of Angmar haunt and hover there.
Oh, I wish you were coming with us, Master.
Old Tom will hear you if you fall into any danger. If ill luck beset you, here's a rhyme to sing. Oh, Tom Bombadil, Tom Bombadillo, by water, wood and hill, by the reed and willow, by fire, sun and moon, hearken now and hear us. Come, Tom Bombadil, for our need is near us. Remember that, my hearties.
We will.
Come on, then. Oh, Tom Bombadil, Tom Bombadillo, by water, wood and hill, by the reed and willow, by fire, sun and moon, hearken now and hear us. Come, Tom.
Steady, boys!
Get up and be off. And go with good speed.
Thank you, Master.
Yes.
Thank you for everything.
Goldberry, my fair lady.
Farewell, elf friend. It was a merry meeting. Speed now, fair friends, and hold to your purpose. North, with the wind in the left eye, and a blessing on your footsteps.
Farewell.
See that dark line away over there? That's a line of trees, and that must mark the road.
Oh, splendid. If we make as good going this afternoon as we have done this morning, we shall have left the downs before the sun sets.
So those green mounds are the barrows.
I don't like the look of them. I'm hot and hungry. It must be time for food.
Let's stop over there and eat.
I don't like these standing stones. I wish we were away from this place.
We'll move on as soon as we've eaten.
Well, that's strange. So warm and the sun's beating down, but this stone, it's cold.
Never mind. In this heat, it feels jolly good against the back.
I do feel weary. Where are we?
What's going on, Mr. Frodo, sir?
The sun's going out.
There's a mist coming up.
It's not mist, it's fog.
Rolling in all around us.
Shutting us in.
Like a trap.
Quick, fetch the ponies before we lose them. We must go on at once.
Well, how will we know the way?
It's straight in front of us. If we keep together and keep our heads, we will strike the road. Come on. Ahead there. The north gate of the Barrow Downs. If we can pass that, we'll be free. Come on! Follow! What? Standing stones. Huge pillars. Leaning towards one another. Like a headless door. Darkness. Found it. Sam, Pippin, Merry, come along, why don't you keep up? Sam, Merry, Pippin, where are you? Here, boy, come on. Come on, come on.
Hoi, Frodo.
Who's there?
Oi, Frodo! Oi!
Where are you? I don't know where I am. Night and fog. Where are you? Starve! The mist rolling away. Ooh, black shape. Great barrow. Where are you?
I am waiting for you.
No! Oh! Tall, like a shadow against the sky, leaning over me. Eyes, cold. I see touch, strong, colder than iron.
Hey,
inside Barrow. Caught. Imprisoned. Barrow White. Maybe I'm already under his spell. Don't move. Lie still. Light. Pale greenish light. Sam, Mary, Pippin, you're here. Why so still? What's wrong? Many treasures. Gold, maybe. Gold chains round their waists. Rings on fingers. Circlets on heads. Swords and shields. Across their necks, a naked sword.
Cold be hand and heart and bone, and cold be sleep under stone. Never more to wake on stony bed, never till the sun fails and the moon is dead.
A long arm, groping, walking on its fingers, towards Sam, and the hilt of the sword. What can I do?
Put on the ring, find some way out.
Running free over grass.
Grieving for Merry and Sam and Pippin.
But free and alive.
It's in your pocket.
No, must stop Barrow White.
Use a sword, they're everywhere around.
Try. It's creeping nearer. Wait. Wait. Now! That's it. Cut it off.
Gone.
Where are you, my friends? Can't see you. Which one of you is this? Mary? Is that you? You're so cold.
Remember?
Remember?
The house.
Tom.
Remember?
Tom Bombadil.
The rhyme.
Old Tom will hear you if you fall into any danger. If ill luck beset you, here's a rhyme to sing.
Oh, Tom Bombadil. Oh, Tom Bombadil. Tom Bombadillo. By water, wood and hill, by the reed and willow, by fire, sun and moon, hearken now and hear us. Come, Tom Bombadil, for our need is near us.
Old Tom Bombadil is a merry fellow. Bright blue his jacket is, and his boots are yellow. None has ever caught him yet, for Tom, he is the master. His songs are stronger songs, and his feet are faster.
Light. Real light.
The plain light of day.
Tom.
Get out, you old white. Vanish in the sunlight. Shrivel like the cold mist. Like the winds go wailing. Out into the barren lands. Far beyond the mountains. Come never here again. Leave your barrow empty. Lost and forgotten be. Darker than the darkness. Where gates stand forever shut till the world is mended.
Come, friend Frodo.
Merry, Pippin, Sam.
Let us get out onto clean grass. You must help me bear them. Wake now, my merry lads.
wake and hear me calling. Warm now heart and limb, the cold stone is fallen.
Oh, Mary, Pippin.
What in the name of wonder?
And what are we wearing? White rags.
Belt of gold. What's this? A crown.
Of course, I remember. An army came on us in the night and we were worsted. Oh, the spear in my heart. No, what am I saying? I've been dreaming. Where did you get to, Frodo?
I thought that I was lost, but I don't want to speak of it. Let us think what we are to do now. Let us go on.
Well, dressed up like this, sir, where are my clothes?
You won't find your clothes again!
What do you mean? Why not?
You've found yourselves again, out of deep water. Clothes are but little loss if you escape from drowning. Be glad, my merry friends, and let the warm sunlight heat now heart and limb. Cast off these cold rags. Run naked on the grass while Tom goes a-hunting.
A-hunting what, I wonder?
No! Oh, come on now! Whither do you wander? Up, down, near or far, here, there or yonder. Sharp ears, wise nose, swish tail and bumpkin. White socks, me little lad, and old fatty lumpkin. Hey, come, Derry Dull, trot along me hearties.
Here comes Tom and the ponies.
Sharp ears, wise nose, swish tail and bumpkin. White socks, my little lad, and old fatty lumpkin.
Six ponies? I don't recognise the six.
He's mine. My four-legged friend. Though I seldom ride him, and he wanders often far, free upon the hillsides.
Hello, old boy.
But now, my jolly lumpkin old Tom's going to ride.
You're coming with us?
Hey, Tom's coming with you just to set you on the road, so he needs a pony.
That is good news.
We'll feel safer with you beside us.
We do seem to have a knack for getting lost.
You're so good at it that Tom will see you to the border.
But first you must eat and put on fresh clothes.
Oh, yes.
While Tom deals with the barrow horde. There. Great treasures.
Great wealth.